The guys did a, good job.
Michael Bush covered the handoff, giving left, standing up, touchdown! Touchdown, Bears!
Those guys played well, and we just got to see this week who's up, who's down, who's going to be playing guards for us, and who's going to be playing tackle.
Gabe Kareem, he hasn't played a lot of guard. You know, coming into the game, he wasn't thinking about guard, playing guard, but just being able to fill in there.
Oh, that's the first time I actually played guard, so I don't know, we'll have to see how I did. I wasn't doing everything right, but got in there and didn't give up any plays, so that was huge.
Same thing with Evan Williams. Both of those guys.
Those two guys stepping in was huge.
Well, just next guy up, and it's just part of his business. And, we got a good group of guys, and Coach Tyson and Tim Holton been doing a really good job with us. So those guys stepped in and did a good job.
Touchdown, Bears! Michael Bush in from the one, his second TD today.
How many sacks did we give up? Any? One? I mean, I'll take it. It's, better than last week.
It's always about the next guy stepping up. Injuries are, part of it. And I thought they did a good job.
Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. At 402 Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Boers and Bernstein, and you know what time it is, and you know what it means, 4 o'clock on a Monday.
NFL Talk and The Score is being brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer of the NFL. Here we go, and Matt Bowen joins us on the Home Run In Pizza Hotline. Try the new Home Run In Ultra Thick Pizza today. Hello, Matt.
Good afternoon, guys. How are you?
We're doing well. How about you, my friend?
I'm doing good. Let's put it this way. It was a much-needed win. Came at some expense, but I really like what the Bears did offensively. I think that's where you should start, because coming out of that game plan against San Francisco, where that entire team melted down, they were outplayed, outhit, etc. We talked about last week. They needed to put something better on film. They needed to show the rest of the league that, one, they could bounce back. Two, they could put some consistent drives together on offense. It wasn't a game plan that you would see in Green Bay, New Orleans, New England, high-powered offenses. It was a more basic game plan, but I love the two-back power runs, the three-step passing game, the movement passes. I like seeing Jay in the pocket. It makes a big difference when he can slide, extend the play, allow guys to get open. But it was the right game plan for that team in that game. I think it has to get more advanced, obviously, down the stretch, and especially in the playoffs, but for that game, it was good.
You know what they did at least is, and that's why my feeling out of that game was one of just relief. Okay, they built a bulwark against the rising tide of fear, and they finally said, okay, they sort of planted their flag, and I think a lot meant for themselves. This was a team that had they lost that game, you're talking about two games.
Then you're talking about trouble.
We have two games in a row where they're questioning their own identity, they're questioning their toughness, they're finding out they're not what they thought they were. It was critical yesterday that at least they could stop the bleeding a little bit. That they say, okay, that we know there are things that we can do. And I just thought that really the win was whatever, but the alternative was unthinkable.
No, I agree. And you look deeper at that game plan, it kind of reminded me of San Francisco. Not as many unique formations that Coach Harbaugh uses, but in terms of the running game, it's the same running game the Niners use. In terms of the passing game, there was only one deep ball late in the game, a tough play for Brandon Marshall to make, probably a play he should make. That was the only deep shot they took down the field. That's what I'm talking about advancing this game plan. This is the game plan, Dan, that fits them, and I think it is right now. You still have to advance it a little bit. You still have to have the tight end catch the football. You still have to get Earl involved. And I think Brandon Marshall had, 17 targets yesterday? Am I right about that?
Yep.
That's a crazy number, but I'll tell you what. If you're going to run the inside breaking routes, and that's the difference. Remember Monday night, guys, they were running all those comebacks and out routes. Those were a disaster. They just said, look, we have a top five receiver. Let's throw a smash route. Let's throw an option route. Let's throw the square in. Let's throw the slant. Let's throw it all day long because they can't stop it.
What's the difference between a smash and a square in?
Well, a smash is a three-step route. A square in is a dig route.
Okay.
Dig routes usually 12 to 15 yards. You can throw it even shorter. But a smash is what you see out of the combination where you get a smash seven. Different from the flat seven. Flat sevens, you have a guy in the flat and a corner route. Smash sevens where you have number one run the smash. It could be a hitch. It could be a little inside five-yard square in route, and then the seven behind it.
I think that, when you watch the game, and I think the natural question you have, Matt, and anybody that would watch it, anybody probably from Minnesota would watch it, what did they do wrong? You knew almost immediately where the ball was going, who he was looking to. Did Minnesota do a good job, or is it just not possible to do much about Brandon Marshall?
No, you can do much. I think we'll see that this weekend if those two corners from Seattle are up, and I think they're going to be up before they appeal those suspensions. I'm talking about Brandon Browner and Sherman, big physical corners. They got length. They could press. That'll be a challenge for the Bears. But I think Minnesota could have done better. I think about it, coming off a bye week. I thought that was a lousy performance for them coming off a bye week. You had 2 weeks to prepare for a divisional opponent, a team you know very well. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you this. If you think about it this way, guys. If you're preparing defensively for Chicago right now, and you're a defensive back, and you walk into that meeting room Wednesday morning, you should take a highlighter out and highlight every alignment that Brandon Marshall is in. That should be your first thing you do. Get to the run game later. Get to the screen game later. Get to third and long later. First and second down, you have to find out where he is because that tells you what the route is. When he's in a reduced split to the backside of the formation, a reduced split is inside of the numbers. He's coming back across the field. Okay, when he aligns in the slot, that means he's getting the football. When he motions into the core of the formation, that is what I call short divide motion, and they create a bunch, and a bunch is three guys close together. They can do it with an offset back, Brandon Marshall on the tight end. They're running the spot route on 3rd and 2 to 6. The spot route is where you have the tight end run the corner route, the fullback in the flat, and Brandon Marshall runs at the spot. He sits down. If it's zone coverage, if it's man coverage, he options off his man. You have to know that as a safety, especially as a corner, that wherever he aligns, whatever he does before the snap, that's how the Bears are running their offense. That's how they're getting the football. They don't have multiple receivers right now. They have one. So what they did yesterday, which I was impressed with, is moved him around the entire game. They moved him. They gave him multiple alignments. They gave the defense a different look, but once that ball snapped, it's still a route that's going to number 15.
You know what else I'd be doing the way the NFL game is played? Is if I'm an opposing coach, I make it very clear publicly that Brandon Marshall is getting away with offensive pass interference all the time. And it reminds me of sort of what NBA coaches used to do about illegal defense. But you got to put it in the minds of the referees. And if you really watch film, and I don't know the Bears fans, I think smart Bears fans can understand it and admit it, that it's ridiculous. I mean, some of these post-ups, he's got guys on his hip. Like, I mean, he looks like a power forward where he's got the guy sealed
and hooked.
He had him hooked just like you'd call it an NBA game. And right. some of the little jostling, you've got to make the referee say, hey, you know, meet me halfway on some of this stuff. Give me a chance.
That's what you do as DB before the game even starts. You go up to the refs. I think we've talked about this before. If you play long enough in the league, you get to know the reffing crews. You get to know the head guy, who's going to be the back judge. You get to know them by first name. And you should know them by first name because you want to eventually get some calls from them. So go up before, ask them about their family, how was the trip into town, et cetera, et cetera. And then you say, oh, by the way, watch number 15. He's been pushing off in film all week. You got to give me one or two of those a game. I mean, you have to do that. If you're a defensive back for Seattle, you should come out in the media and say it. You should get it out there publicly. But yeah, he pushes off. That's what I would do as a defensive back.
Right, you'll get that question about Marshall and the way you answer it. Say, well, you know,
I mean, the one in the end zone. It's crazy. Call. Are you kidding me?
But the first time you're asked that, you can say a lot of receivers be putting up big numbers if they were allowed to manhandle defensive backs like he is.
No, and a lot of guys do get away with it. I mean, you watch when Randy Moss was younger, when he get by a safety or a corner, he push him right in the back and get a two or three more yards of separation, then use that 4-3 speed to make it look even worse. So a lot of receivers do it. Defensive backs don't get a lot of calls. There was a play in the end zone yesterday. Should have been an interception, I think, for Malcolm Jenkins from Saints. And Randy Moss pulled them down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, it's an offensive league. Everyone knows that. We all know that.
Yep.
Defensive backs are at a disadvantage. But I agree. That play in the end zone yesterday with Brandon, it was a post-up move in the low block. Yeah. He held him down. And then immediately threw his arms up looking for a flag. Hey,
I got it.
It's a wide receiver league now.
Did you find that did any good when you would go ask the officials, how's the kids doing? How's little Kevin doing? They obviously can't say that, but do you think that did some good at times?
They're human beings.
I think so. I think you say stuff like that. And you see, I mean, I was blatantly honest. I'd be like, look, I can't cover this guy. I'm going to hold him every time. So it's up to you if you're going to call it or not. But I'm telling you right now, I'm going to hold this guy. So I would tell him that for sure.
Speaking of holding guys, Jared Allen, the hit on Lance Lewis, or perhaps you like my porn name, Lewis Lance. Where does that fall in the Matt Bowen world of, or, oh, no?
I don't think he needed to do it. I mean, he could have blown him up. He didn't have to launch himself. I think that's what obviously led to the injury, and that's what's going to lead to, I would expect, at least 20K fine, because he put a guy down with a helmet shot. It's a fine. He put a guy down with a helmet shot plus an injury. It's going to be a larger fine. I don't know why he launched himself. I don't know. Was he frustrated? I don't know. I don't know the guy. Did he do it on purpose? No one knows. But it looks like he did.
Yes, he did. That's not an accident to leave your feet.
He himself planted. He was kind of watching him come across the field at him.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm all for guys that play the game violently, and that's kind of the defensive mentality you and I have talked about for a long time. But, you know, make sure the guy's looking at you, though, a little bit, you know, because if you're going to hit him from the side when he's not looking, anyone can do that. You know, if you want to light him up, light him up. Go ahead. You have a chance. You can put your shoulder pad, run it underneath his pads. He could have laid him out easily. But he went for the head, and that's going to cost a fine. And if you're a Bears offensive lineman in that next game, snap, I would cut his knees out. I'd tell him he could do it all game because he took one of our guys out.
See, that's what I was going to ask you, if that carries over. Because you're just doing, you know, you've got Pete Carroll here, and Pete Carrill's coaching with him now. You got them, and then the week after you got the Vikings again. Does that carry over to where you don't have to talk about it necessarily in the locker room, because then we're getting back into Bounty Gate? But just, does it go without saying that you think something's going to happen to him? Is it possible, or is it more likely that nothing happens to Jared Allen?
Nothing could happen, but I'm not saying a guy wouldn't try to light him up and go a little harder. If he's standing around the pile and he can do it cleanly, I'm not saying to get a flag here. I'm saying do it cleanly. If he's standing around the pile in 2 weeks and you got a free shot at him, take it. That's what I would do.
We know about all the injuries. You know Lance Lewis is done for the year, and fans always enjoy a mad scramble like that at the professional level with guys forced into action, because it's interesting to see guys who practice so specifically say, oh, all right, I guess I got to play this position, and they did okay. And I thought Jonathan Scott, at the very least, Jonathan Scott can stand up out of his stance and get into a proper position and stand in somebody's way. I mean, it's just small victories at this point, but it sounds ridiculous that I have to compliment somebody for that, but he was okay. I'm just wondering, do you think even with the injuries, did we see enough of a response that this can be okay even against another 3-4 perhaps?
Yes, as long as Jay's playing quarterback. I think that's the difference. There was a couple situations where Jay was able to scramble, pick up yardage, moving down the field and slide outside the pocket. When Jay's playing quarterback, he's going to make that offensive line look better than Jason Campbell. We all know that. I think the important thing from yesterday is that Jaren Allen didn't have a field day, because that's what everyone kind of expected, that he was going to have a game like he did in Week 17 of last season. We had, whatever, 3.5-4 sacks. They were able to limit him. They were able to keep Jay off the ground for the majority of the ball game, and they did look all right. And one thing to remember, you only dress 7 O-linemen. Every team I played on, you dress 7 guys. You have 2 swing guys. Obviously, Gabe was a swing tackle, and they have a guy inside that could play center. I mean, both guard positions, and he could move guards if he had to. If someone else would have got hurt, now that would have been a circus, because you'd probably have to put a tight end in there.
They said it was going to be Kellen Davis.
Yeah, you'd have to put a tight
end. That he was going to be the right – Kellen Davis would have been the right tackle.
Yikes, that would not be good.
if you're Jay Cutler at that point, you hide underneath the bench.
Yeah. But what about this, though, guys? This is what I was thinking about when I heard about the Lance Lewis news, is what the Bears run, what they're good at, what they did yesterday, is they run a lot of power O. And power O is when you have 2 backs in the backfield. It could be, for the Bears, just a tight end and a running back. And you kick out with the fullback, and you pull that backside guard around. That's his game. He's good at pulling. He's athletic. Mm-hmm.
So that's what he's doing. Yep.
He pulls up through the hole. I mean, I saw it in the high school games this weekend. You'll see it in college. It is the most basic run. It's the first run you install. And the Bears also run what I call the stretch G series. When they run that one back stretch to the outside and they pull both guards. Mm-hmm. They pull both guards. They run the stretch C also when they'll pull guards as well. But they pull both of those. That's what you're missing with them. That's what you're missing. I'm not saying the Bears offensive line can't stick to that game plan, which they will. That's
the athleticism.
Yeah, you're missing that one thing without Lance Lewis.
It's the State Farm Bears Monday on the Score, and Matt Bowen is brought to you by State Farm Insurance. Now, you can ponder this as we go to break here, Matt Bowen. I want to know if there's anything, and we want to answer no, we'll take a break. Is there anything you saw yesterday happen that convinces you in 2 weeks when they meet again that the Bears will automatically just win that game too because of something you saw? or perhaps you didn't see and makes you not so certain about what happens when you're on Minnesota's home turf.
Well, we will get the answer to that question and more after a short timeout. Boers and Bernstein on the Score.
First and 10, 32-yard line against left. Adrian Peterson gives up the football on the scoop, far side of the field. Bears have taken it away.
We played a lot of cover two, which is tough to do against them because such a good back, but we didn't miss a lot of tackles in the first half, and he got a few yards late in the game when it didn't really matter, but we held them in check for the most part the first half.
That's Brian Urlacher. Highlights courtesy of WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9, our fine sister stations, as we always do on Mondays at 4. We're visiting with our guy Matt Bone, and I asked him a musical question. Did you see anything yesterday, Matt Bone, that tells you in a couple weeks when the Bears and the Vikings meet yet again that you can expect a different result, or that it could be a different result, or that the Bears are just so superior we'll see the same thing all over again?
No, because Percy Harvin wasn't on the field. You put him in that Vikings game plan, they're a different offense. You know, there's not many targets for Christian Ponder to throw to. I mean, there's they had some drops yesterday. But outside of Kyle Rudolph, I don't know where the ball was going. Without Percy Harvin in there, they can't run that wide receiver screen. They put him in the backfield. They use that motion. They put him in the slot. They can get a little creative with Percy Harvin and cause some issues defensively. I agree with what Urlacher was saying. They did play, I mean, they're up by 18 in the second half, playing a lot of cover two. Adrian Peterson was able to pick up, you know, some fantasy football yards late right in the game, but that didn't mean anything. They did a good job defending the run. They forced some turnovers. But the key was the pressure. I mean, they got pressure on Christian Ponder. That one throw, the interception from Chris Conte, was just a basic overthrow versus cover two. That's what you want as a safety. You want those defensive linemen to force a quarterback either to break outside of the pocket, have to, you know, rely on lousy footwork and try to make a tough throw down the field, and that's what happened. But I think it's Percy Harvin. And plus, playing up in that dome. That dome is tough. It's tough to win up there. That is tough to win up there. I mean, that place is a dump, okay? It's been a dump since I played there in college with the Hawkeyes in 95. Okay, it's loud. It's obnoxious. It's just a tough place to play. They have guys dressed up as Vikings that ride out on snowmobiles. Okay, it's just... there's a lot of things going on.
Man, I don't think that happens.
There's a guy in the Harley who comes out, who I think is a local high school guidance counselor. Does kind of look like a Viking or a caveman or something. Yeah. I don't know what he's doing. I just know I want
I just, you know, I did.
That's it. That's
that guy. Yeah, see, I just
that
didn't,
noise, though. It's a tough place to play.
I didn't see enough to tell me that I think the Bears are that much better. I did see, we are thinking alike. Other than, see, I don't always run around and think I'm going to kill somebody, get the shot on them. But I thought the same thing. You're thrown to air. Right. These wideouts on this team, who are you throwing to? I mean, hits them right in the hands. Apparently, that's a bad spot. Right. I mean, I don't know what you do. I mean, I realize the Bears did get their pressure, but I'm looking at this thinking, okay, what can I take from this when we do this again another week and say, well, the Bears just have to do this
and
again and everything's fine.
That little, I don't know if that is swap boot action, but the stuff that they were doing just flipping the ball to Rudolph because you have so much of your resources that are worried about where Adrian Peterson is going.
I would be
There's
too.
Not a defender in the TV picture.
Right, and that's what they did. They ran those boot plays out of what I call big wing alignment. When you have tank, I call it tank personnel. It's one wide receiver, two tight ends, two running backs, and you have them both blocked down. One guy releases to the flat, one guy releases to the corner. And if you even peek in the backfield in those situations, even peek as a Sam backer or a safety or beat. And that's just a case of, you know, poor eye discipline from the Bears looking for the run first, but that was the only thing they really had. That was it. That and Adrian Peterson, because you couldn't throw the ball down the field. There's too much pressure. There wasn't guys that could separate. Yeah, they got a couple slant routes. Who cares? I mean, a slant route's not going to beat you. That's not enough. You have to have some ability to flip the field. And I think if you don't get the big plays from Adrian Peterson, that offense without Percy Harvin is pretty bad.
Pray tell, did you think of the Vikings quarterback? I mean, there's always been a little controversy regarding him. Christian Ponder's a guy that some like, some don't like, not sure. I mean, I'm not sure what I saw at this point. Matt, what'd you think?
Well, it's interesting because I think he's kind of connected with Jake Locker. I think that's how they're going to compare his career because they're both drafted in the first round around the same spot. I mean, you look at the guys that were drafted at the top of the first round this year, Andrew Luck and RG3, that's why they were drafted 1 and 2. But you also go back to Andy Dalton from last year out in Cincinnati. He's developing pretty nicely out there. He's a good quarterback. He's a solid quarterback. He's continuing to get better. I think with Ponder right now, the problem is he's too up and down. He's way too up and down. he has to be more consistent. Obviously, like you said, Terry, he needs some guys to throw the ball to. That will help a lot. But he's still too up and down. A great athlete, a guy that can really move in the pocket. And like Dan mentioned, he can use that boot game with him, use the sprint game with him, the dash, get him outside the pocket. But he has to be a more consistent football player.
Well, then let's look at the Seahawks real quickly. You mentioned the size and skill of their defensive backfield. And again, you've got a load running back that you're going to have to be aware of. Again, you have an athletic quarterback. He hasn't seen a whole lot of exotic stuff, inexperienced as a rookie, but he's like good feet, good vision down the field, and he's made throws. And maybe there are some targets you have to be worried about. What will they be practicing against, or against what will they be practicing?
Well, I think they're going to see in the same style of running game, the power roll, lead open, lead strong, counter roll F. I mean, those are their base power runs they're going to see with Marshawn Lynch. The concern that I see is the Seattle secondary is the best in the NFL overall. I said before I like the 49ers safeties as the best combo when we were talking earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
Their safeties are right behind them. You talk about Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas. These guys can play, and those corners are long. They're real long. They play press coverage. They're not afraid to compete at the line of scrimmage. That's where they're tough. The two rush ends, I mean, Bruce Irvin, the rookie out of West Virginia, that's all he does is rush, okay? Mm-hmm. He's a speed rusher. Chris Clemens, kind of a mix in power, speed. I can still call him a speed rusher. That'll be a challenge for the Bears, is to block up those edge rushers and to compete against that secondary. Offensively, you know, Golden Tate, Sidney Rice on the outside. They got Baldwin, who they use in the slot, and they also put Tate in the slot. It's a good football team, but they're a different team away from home.
That's the thing I wanted to ask you. I mean, how good can you really be if you can't win at Dam? I think they won one road game.
Yes, they've won.
And
they've
not lost at home, and they won one road game. I mean, what do you really can you make of a team that can't win a damn road game in the NFL?
Yeah, and there's a lot of questions that go into that. You wonder what they're doing in the hotel the night before. What's their routine? Do they need to switch up the routine? Why can't they get off to a fast start on the road? Why do they go down to Miami, a team who just got beat up by the Buffalo Bills, and lose that game? It is odd. You know, for the Bears, I think you have to make Russell Wilson beat you. You have to keep him in the pocket. Make him step into the throws against Julius Peppers, against Izzy Adonijan. Make the rookie beat you. That's what I would do from a defensive game plan. The Bears aren't going to change. Run cover two, cover three, cover one, and zone and man pressure. That's what the Bears are. They're not going to change. But keep that quarterback in the pocket, because when he gets outside – that's when, you know, his intangibles take over. He can make a lot of plays. He's very creative outside the pocket. He can extend plays. Receivers get open. You don't want that as a defensive back. But I still think the matchup to watch, if the ball's only going to number 15, which I expect it to be next week,
right,
can he consistently get open against his secondary? Because those safeties are going to try to light him up. They're very good.
All right, Matt, thanks as always. As you mentioned, also you got rave reviews for a weekend analyzing the high school games for the TV broadcast, and that I believe was your alma mater with another trophy, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of hard work. I was pretty nervous, to be honest. But it was a great time. Great time down in Champaign. You know, my alma mater, Glenbard West, won the 7-8 state title, so I'm very proud of
it. Don't talk about that. You beat my Lincoln Way team. Stop that.
They did. We played good defense. It was like an SEC game. Fun to watch.
Keena Layton, Lincoln Way team.
Really?
That's what it is, yeah. You know, and here's what I would say this, Matt. You also received rave reviews for your performance in Annie. So, I mean, I'm telling you, you are one special dude.
As Danny Warbucks. That, he doesn't need much, right?
Get this football stuff. This guy can do it all.
Put the suit on him, and he's singing forever in a day. Thanks, Matt.
All right, thank you, guys.
Love you, Matt.